to be born from above. I'm glad my name is written down yonder in Glory Land. If you have a Bible with you today, my, where do I start and where do I stop? I just pray the Lord to show me all of that today. This has really touched my heart. This came into me Monday. I've been dealing with it all week. I start a revival tomorrow night up in Lexington, North Carolina. Y'all pray for that meeting. But I feel like that this is something for our church this morning. And when I read this text, I want you to be mindful of the setting and why God would write this down in His sacred pages. Nehemiah chapter number 1 today, in verse number 1. I'm only going to read 3 verses, and if you would stand, or I'll read 4 verses. Let's stand and honor that reading of the Word of God. I'm so thankful our church is going to have a celebration Sunday in December. Brother Dana will be in, as Brother Mike has already said. We'll have preachers here that's been sent out, and Brother Mark, Brother David, and Brother Jamie. And so we're thankful for that good day. And then we're going to have a church fellowship out back. So I'm thankful of the goodness of God. Nehemiah 1, verse number 1, the Bible says, and it does matter what the Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It came to pass in the month of Chislu, or in December, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace. Boy, he was in a very restful, nice place. That Hananiah, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, that were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. They said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, they're in great affliction and reproach. And the wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept, and mourned certain days, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Thank you for standing and honoring the reading of the Word of God. Father, we love you today. We thank you for this time together. I pray you'd give me clarity of mind today and God's sensitivity of spirit. I pray you'd help me to be a blessing to the people of God. Thank you for your goodness here. God, those many are sick, they need us to pray, they need the hand of the great Master to touch them. We know you're the great physician, and God, you can do all things. So now I pray you let preaching be easy a few minutes this morning. In Christ's name I pray, and I ask you, amen. Amen. In this text, you'll notice that Nehemiah, to many scholars, was one of the greatest leaders of the Bible. Nehemiah had a great opportunity. Nehemiah, being a Jew, he was there in the city, and he's been led away captive. There's a time when Jerusalem was going for the honor and the glory of God, and the nation of Israel, they began to rebel against the Word of God. So we realize that with national sins, it brings a national ruin. That's the track that America is on this morning. By simply national sins, it brings national ruins. God has written things that we're to go by and to apply in our lives. And when God is real good at blessing us, but there is a side of God that He always reprimands, He always disciplines His children. So here, Nehemiah, he's a unique character, he's great in leadership. The Bible says he was the king's cupbearer. Now what had happened, the Babylonians had went in and they had knock the walls down around Jerusalem. It was some 180 acres. You that have deer leases and you that own property, you can imagine 180 acres that would be walled in. On that wall, there were gates there. So the Babylonians came and they tore those walls down. They burned the gates up with fire. And so Nehemiah, he has stayed with the king of Persia and he's been raised in his culture. Nehemiah did not go back to Jerusalem. But something happened with the Babylonians. The Persians came and overtook them. And so now Nehemiah is working for the king of Persia, and he's the king's cupbearer. The Persians, they were very people of great animosity. A lot of times they would form a coup, and when a man was king in Persia, they would set him up and poison him so that somebody could take his seat on the throne. Well, the king of Persia, he simply took Nehemiah, put him in his work and his place, so he tasted everything that was put before the king. He had a very important job. I don't know if I'd want his job or not. It's sort of, you know, like going to dinners on the ground. You don't know what bowl to eat out of. Somebody say amen. But certainly Nehemiah, he had a great job. You'll notice he was in the palace. Nehemiah, he lived in a comfort zone. He's a lot like you and I. He had things really good. Matter of fact, many of us have never had it this good. But Nehemiah, he was not a self-centered person. We live in a society that's got so self-centered, they spend a lot of time taking selfies. Look at me, look at me, look at me. It's all about me. But Nehemiah was a man that he was not self-centered. He wanted to do something to edify the people of God. There's been a lot of teaching here. Wednesday night it was taught that God has not brought us to be here just to sit down, but God has brought us in this place to bless others and help other people. Now here this morning, it's four little truths. I'm not going to try to preach the whole book of Nehemiah. I'm just going to give you some nuggets. And I want you to write these down. I'm preaching on broken walls and burned the gates. Broken walls and burned the gates. Now, first of all, you'll notice that before anything was done, that Nehemiah assessed the damage. He assessed the damage. If, you know something, if my wall was not where it used to be and it was torn down, I would have to get somebody to come and give me information about it. So Nehemiah, look what happens. He's in the king's court. There's some of his kinfolk has come all the way down from Jerusalem and they brought Nehemiah a report. Now I want you to realize Nehemiah is living in great comfort. He's got it made. Man, he's in the palace of the king. But something happens to Nehemiah. Look, now first of all, he assessed the damage. Look in verse number 3 from this report. They said unto me, speaking to Nehemiah, the remnant that are left. Now look, as he assessed this damage, we see the size. It was just a remnant. They no longer was the majority. And you know, there was a time when the nation of Israel was a complete nation. They were thriving for God, but now they've become just a remnant. And so he hears about the size of the people of God. Secondly, not only does he hear about the size, but he sees about their status. Now in verse 3, they are just a province. They were a great nation. I want to ask y'all some, what happened to these millions of people? What happened to this congregation? We see that Nehemiah's receiving this report. He's simply assessing the damage. We see the size and the status. Then we see their scorn. Verse 3, the Bible said they become a reproach. It simply means they were looked down upon. And I'm not going there very far out, but isn't it terrible in the United States of America that Christian people are looked down upon? But you know, that's just not started. It's been all the way through the Bible. Anybody that's ever stood for the right of God and the right of morality, they've always been looked down upon. And so here Nehemiah is listening to this report. He's assessing the damage. He hears about the size, the status, the scorn. But now notice the sadness. The Bible simply said this. He said that the walls of Jerusalem is broken down. The gates are burned with fire. And they are, in verse 3, they're in great affliction. How could a place that used to be thriving the way that nation was thriving, how could they get in such a shape? How could millions of people that honored and glorified God become just such a few people? How could a facility that was walled with gates and had a temple, how in the world does it turn into this? Well, this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, that Nehemiah assessed the damage. But then secondly, Nehemiah accepted the details. He accepted the details. Look in verse 4. Came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days. Now, isn't that something? He accepted the details. You know, we really don't want to receive the truth. A lot of times, y'all get quiet. I'll preach to you before I leave. But a lot of times we don't, Brother Wallace, we really don't want the truth. We want people to say, well, it's good. And, you know, I don't like dealing with bad news, but sometimes I've got to hear bad news and do something about bad news in order to correct it. A lot of times my wife, you know, I've noticed if I don't want the truth, I don't ask, because she's going to tell me the truth. She'll, some Sunday morning, she'll say, you ain't wearing that down there, are you? And then sometimes I'll get done preaching and I'll say, well, honey, how was the message? She'll say, it was a little long. I say, well, how was the preaching? Well, if you'd have studied, we'd have heard something different than what you've always said. But I love honesty. But you know something? We have to receive honesty before we can get better. And so here in this great text, we see that Nehemiah assessed the damage. The walls were broken down and the gates were burned with fire. The people had become a minute in the planet. And so he accepted the details. And I want you to notice this, how he accepted it. He accepted the details personal. Now I want you to notice, don't forget this, Nehemiah had it made. That ain't his issue, but it was his issue. I've got it great. But he simply did this. He accepted the details and it became personal. It ought to become personal to every one of us today, not only about the condition of America, but the condition of our lives. It was personal. It was painful. You'll notice what he did. He sat down and he wept. You know, I realize we're so blessed. I've been on to foreign countries several times, different places, and I've always said, you know, there's no place like America, and that is so true. We're such a blessed people. So blessed. Here at Liberty Baptist Church, we are so blessed. I mean, it is amazing. We don't have flashing lights. Lights are not darkened down. The windows hadn't been blackened out. We hadn't got a praise team up, a hoorah and a going on. We just have old time church. And you know, so I want to ask you something. How does the people of God get from there to here? What's the process? What happens? So we see in this text that he assessed the damage and then he accepted the details. It was personal. It was painful. He sat down and he wept. There are some things that we ought to weep about again. We ought to weep about our nation. We really should. Young people don't realize the the downward spiral that our nation is on. Any time that you don't make this book a priority in a nation or a home, you're headed in a down spiral direction. So many of our young families, they don't understand the direction that we're headed in. The schools, they've simply brainwashed them that America's a bad place, and that they put different theologies in their head. But I want to say something to you young people. God is good. God is to be served, and God is to be feared. And this Bible is the greatest roadmap for your life that you'll ever have. Now I want to get to where I need to get. Preaching on broken walls and burnt gates. They assessed the damage. He accepted the details. It was personal, it was painful, but it was productive. This man that had a great life, had great security, but he was not self-centered. This pain become productive. He's going to do something about it. I love people that love a challenge. They're visionaries. They get a vision. They go for God. They go for their family, their job, for their self, for God. But thirdly, look in this text. Not only did he assess the damage and he accepted the details, but he asked for directions. Look in verse 4. Many times God's people forget about this. Verse number 4, this is simply what he said. I wept, mourned certain days, fasted, and I prayed before the God of heaven. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that we can pray to this morning. Now you notice this, look at this word. Here's a great little nugget, and I'll get on to the last one that my heart's really at. But I want to give you this Bible nugget this morning. Look what he says. He mourned, he wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed. Underline this. He prayed before the God of heaven. You see that? Well, he's going to pray again in chapter number 2, verse number 4. Watch how it changes. He's asking for directions. Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make requests? So I prayed to the God of heaven. You'll notice his first prayer that he simply prayed before the God of heaven. You've got to get before God before you can get to God. He got before God. He become honest and he said, Lord, you're the only one that can handle this in my life. There's a need. I have a vision to accomplish something. And Lord, I don't have anything, but you've got everything. So he came before the God of heaven. But the next time you see him praying, he's praying to the God of heaven. I think the reason our prayers don't get answered more because we never get before the God of heaven. We always praying to the God of heaven, but oh, give us some people that know how to get before the God of heaven, that they bow before Him in reverence and holiness and say, Lord, we sure do need You. Now, this is where I want to get this morning. I'm not preaching about America. We don't have enough time for that. But I want to say this. Broken walls and burnt gates. He simply assessed the damage. He accepted the details. He asked for directions. And don't miss this, he avoided detours. He avoided detours. Now what's happened, preacher, so you don't have to read us 8 chapters? This is what happened. It affected Nehemiah in such a manner that he went to the king of Persia where he was the cupbearer. The king looked at him. He loved Nehemiah. Nehemiah was so faithful. And he said, Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? Your countenance is sad. He said, why shouldn't it be sad? He said, the walls are broken down and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And so the king said this, what could I give you, Nehemiah, to accomplish this? It's in chapter 2, ready to home. You know what he done? He didn't know what to ask for, so he prayed to God and said, Lord, tell me what I need. So I want to ask you today, these walls in our life, in our home, when we petition the King and he asked us what we need, a lot of times we don't even know what we need. But Nehemiah had a great truth. He brought it before the Lord and he said, Lord, tell me what I need. Then he responded to the king. He said, I'll tell you what I need, king. I need a ladder. And I need building material. And I need some men with me. And I want you to send me all the way back to Jerusalem because I've got a job to do. Liberty Baptist Church, we've got a great job to do. We're to get the gospel out to a lost and a dying world. People going to hell by the droves. We have missionaries to support. We have families to help. We have people to pray for. Oh, what a great responsibility we have. So, as the king of Persia asked him what he needed, he said, I really don't know. You know, a lot of times before we build up walls, we really don't know what we need to get them built back. But I can tell you how we can get the answer this morning. If we pray and ask God, God, what do I need to get these walls back? Now, let me ask you this. Talking about these walls, I'm not talking about America. I'm talking about me and you, these walls in our life. Now, this is what really amazed me, Brother Mike. Ezra has been sent. He's built the temple. He's went all the way back down to Jerusalem. Brother Kevin, they've restored that temple. They're worshiping there, but there are no walls around it. That's a lot like me and you. We come and worship, but we've allowed the walls in our life to decay and be damaged, and we've not repaired them. Oh, how we need our walls fixed in our life. What does walls do? First of all, walls keep things out, and walls keeps things in. I wonder, do you need any work on your walls? You know, we need a wall set up on us when we're going for God. I need a wall put up for my mind. I want you to notice what happened in this text, and I want you to see it, then I'm done preaching. Watch in your Bible now. He avoids the detours. Look in chapter 4, verse number 1. Anytime anybody's going to do something for God, it's going to be opposition. The devil's going to be sure that you're not going to accomplish nothing for God unless he fights you about it. And let me tell you, it's worth fighting over. These little children come and do their giving here every Sunday morning. They're worth fighting for, every one. This Bible that's on this sacred desk, it's worth fighting for. Many have pushed it aside, but it's worth fighting for. I went and seen Ms. Cormay this week, one of the greatest elder members we have. Miss Cormay is in her upper 80s. You know what she told me in her house, my wife, Brother Howard Hurst? She said, Preacher, I want to thank you that you've not changed, that you've stayed with that Bible. Well, can I tell you this morning, there are some things that we better be sure some walls are up about. It doesn't matter how much we worship if we don't have walls. These walls, I need. Look what happens now. Came to pass, chapter 4, verse 1. When Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, his wrath took great indignation and he mocked the Jews. He spake before his brethren, the army of Samaria. What are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the rubbish which are burned? Building these walls. Boy, how I need a wall around my mind. You know, I get on preaching here on Sunday morning, and I know I minded the Lord. This is the type of preacher I am. If it's not speaking in here, then it's not saying nothing out yonder. And I try to get before the Lord and let that scripture raise up in my heart, and I try to study everything I can find about it. I can't just get something and tell you what I'm going to be preaching next Christmas. I don't know. But I know this, when we come here, I've got to mind the Lord. And then when I leave, boy, Sanballat, not you, Renee, Sanballat, gets in that Yukon. He'll get right on my shoulder and I'll lay down at night and he'll say, "You're crazy. You have lost your mind." He loves to make us doubt. And then you'll always see something when you're building these walls back. Somebody will come by and try to discourage you. What are you doing? Man, we started Liberty Baptist Church nearly 30 years ago. I had pastors. You know what they called and told me? They said, "We got enough churches around here. I got some members. You want members?" So discouraged. Why couldn't they say, "Brother Ken, we're glad the Lord's put that in y'all's heart and we wish you the best. This is not competition. This is about serving the Lord and helping one another." And how I need a wall built up around my mind when these forces of opposition come to me. He loves to make us doubt. And he loves to discourage us. And you notice there's members that the devil will use to discourage. I don't know if they don't realize it or they're just that ignorant. That's real good preaching this morning. Real good preaching. I've never understood why somebody wants to throw a bucket of water on a fire that's burning. Encourage one another. And if you can't say something nice like old Barney Five, you said, zip it. Zip it. Can't say something nice? Hush. So as we try to build these walls up around our lives, the Sanballat and the Tobias, they come and they try to ridicule you. Now, watch this. You'll notice that those walls were burnt and they didn't get new stones. They had to use the stones that were burnt. There's a lot of you who've been through a lot of fire trials. And you say, "Well, preacher, how do I build this wall back up around my life?" You know, he didn't tell them to build a bridge. He told them to build a wall. We're to keep the enemy out. It's to keep us from going places that we don't need to go. And they had to take these burnished rubbles, these stones that had been burnt, they was instructed to build on those again. Can I tell you, it don't matter what has happened. Failure is not final. God can use you to build up a wall again. Brother Adam, go right over there. Come here, Brother Shane. Brother Adam, work on this part of the wall. Brother Shane, work on this part of the wall right here. Y'all come here. Now stay busy. Don't lean on it. I want you laying brick on it and doing something on it. Doing something on it. Hey, Brother Tim, get on that wall right there. Start doing something on it. Now you'll notice this. It took them around 52 days to build them walls up that had been down for years. But they got together and they started working together and they started picking up the things that had been trampled and had been abused and had been burnt and they started laying them in the wall again. Y'all can be seated. How we need people that'll work on the wall. Boy, old Tobiah come by and said, "Are y'all kidding me?" Hey, y'all remember that night they told us we could get this property and we held hands out here and a gate was growed up. There's a chicken house or two down here. We didn't even know it was on the property. It's growed up. We held hands out there and somebody called the law on us. Was out there praying. Young families, the old devil will try his best to get you to tear those walls down. And a man said something about boundaries last night. I'm about done preaching, but I want to say this. I put it in my notes. It really spoke volumes to me. Boundaries are defined of what we won't do. Boundaries are simply those things that we won't do. What about the walls that you used to have up? See, these walls brought safety. Miss Emily, won't you come? These walls brought separation. I want to say this, and I want you to understand this Bible doctrine. Jesus says that we are to go out into the world and spread the gospel. But no place in that Bible does it show that this church is supposed to be of the world. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate. We better watch the walls in our life. Walls that where the enemy loves to break through. I got to thinking about this, Miss Emily, as you play. I got to thinking, you know, we've got an old cabin out there at the house. It's built around 1830. We put that up. Brother Jeffrey, we chinked that. You're one of the best brick men, block men in the country. We put that mud in it. And I went in there last night, Brother Randall. You know what? I could look between them logs and I could see outside in some places. That mortar had moved. The timbers had moved. And now I could see out of the wall. Why are you saying that? Well, I better fix it or it won't be a wall very long. So it is in our life. We've had walls up to things that we've allowed to come in. They broke through. Those walls brought security and protection. Oh, Mom and Daddies, how we need to band together and build walls around our home. We don't allow things to come into our homes. It's so important. Me and Renee's always had a policy that we're going to love each other no matter what. We're going to love each other. And we're not going to go to bed mad. And I've had a few opportunities. Somebody say amen. I've had a few opportunities. And we're just going to serve God. And it didn't matter what people said. We're just going to mind the Lord. How we need the walls put back in our life that protect us. Bring us boundaries that... How it will guard our worship. And help us to be a blessing to other people. It is my opinion. I don't have cell phone doctrine, but it is my opinion. This has hurt the church a lot worse than COVID ever hurt it. It's desensitized us as a people to sin. We see others, what they're doing, and we think, well, that's okay. But you know something? I've got a wall up. And I can't allow some things to come to where I live. And you know, talk about the wall of our mind. Oh, how I need that wall up. How the devil has penetrated that wall. So much. I can look at some of you sometime preach. That's the reason I don't look at people preaching. I look above you. I can see somebody that's smirking or doing this. And the devil says, I told you he was crazy. But Parker, sometimes we need each other to help us build our walls. We can't hold everything by ourselves. We need people to contribute and to help. And boy, you're talking about a mind. Renee says, Ken, you read into way too much. Any of y'all have trouble with your mind? I was in the hospital a couple of days, a few weeks ago. I had a test this week. I done picked out my casket. I mean, I'm just telling you. Devil's told me, look, son, you in your 60s, it's time for you to quit. You ain't going to accomplish nothing. But I want to say something. I need a wall built around my mind. We need walls built around our homes. Daddies, you're in charge of it. It's up to you. Ladies, you're to subject to your husband. I know you don't like that, but it's in your Bible. You're not to be a doormat to your husband. You are to be along his side to support him and help him. Every head bowed. Father, we love you today.